in a very, very dramatic way. One of our key indicator sets in the Genuine Progress Index is the health of the population. So we measure whether people are healthier or not. Now, from a supply side, the way you were describing it earlier, supply side economics,
which is pretty much the mantra in the 1980s, and the Reagan administration in particular really took to that.
That's right, and really that's what the entire current debate is about. Are we supplying enough hospital beds, doctor services,
right.
Drugs? But we're not looking at it from the demand side of the equation. If we really want to curb spiraling healthcare costs, then part of the discussion has to be how do we improve the health of the population and thereby reduce the demands on the healthcare system. Now, in the Genuine Progress Index, we actually look at the health of the population, and a healthier population means literally fewer demands on the healthcare system. So we're missing the other half of the equation in our current debate. In fact, Roy Romano these days says quite frankly and openly that this was the missing part of his report.
He
acknowledges that the report was soft on population health, and it's really the missing chapter in the Romano report.
Well, let me just alert our friends listening to Wild Rose Forum today that you have written about this. If you want to find out more about the GPI, the Genuine Progress Indicator, there is a website. Go to www.gpiatlantic, all one word, .org. And if you go through the website there, you'll see some commentary after Romano, valuing our health, not our sickness, as part of reality check. But I'll refer to that again after the 1:30 break. But let's looks like we just lost Anu in Calgary. Sorry, Anu, if we were on a cell phone there, please do phone back. Meantime, let's go to Maria in Stony Plain. Welcome to Wild Rose Forum. Hi.
Yes, good afternoon. I'd like to ask a question about this study that you have done. Does it only deal with physical well-being, or does it deal also with emotional well-being? And does it deal with the general population, or does it also take a separate sliver and deal with the seniors, which the CBC had a very powerful program on last night, Rage Against the Darkness,
mm-hmm.
which dealt with seniors who are being warehoused in, you know, lodges and things like that, and they're being grouped sick with the sick. And they don't see the children. They don't see the youth. Did you evaluate their happiness, or was it just dealing with money and goods?
No, it's the work in the GPI work is not dealing just with money and goods. It's dealing exactly with the kinds of issues you're raising.
It's so it's qualitative as well as quantitative. Yeah, qualitative and quantitative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the criticisms we have of the current way of assessing how we're doing according to whether the economy's growing is it's purely quantitative. It just measures how much stuff we're producing and spending. So we're trying to emphasize the quality of life, not just the quantity of goods. So I'm right with you there in your comment. That's exactly the kind of thing we're trying to capture. Now, you had two questions there. One was, yes, we do take into account mental health, and some of our indicators are taken from Statistics Canada's population health surveys, where they do ask questions on mental health. And interestingly, that's actually an interesting example. It's not just physical health, but also mental health. Newfoundland and Labrador, which among the Canadian provinces has the lowest gross domestic product per capita and the lowest income, in fact, the highest unemployment rate in the country. So in conventional economic terms, it's not doing so well. But when you look at something like mental health, every year the Newfoundlanders do the best in the country. They are the happiest people in the country. They have the highest rates of psychological well-being, the lowest levels of stress, and every Statistics Canada population health survey shows that in terms of mental health, Newfoundland and Labrador is a good place to be. So it's very interesting that when you look at things differently, the equation starts to shift. And your question about seniors is well taken. We mm-hmm. do in our reports, whether on health, also on other issues, we look at we try to break down the population into different parts. So we look at, for example, women's health compared to men's health, old people, young people. So we actually try to show that it's not simply an average, but that there are different effects on different groups of people.
And do you also go into the seniors' lodges where people are can't take care of themselves? Do you talk to those people as well?
Well, our work, I have to tell you, is it is statistical, so we do produce reports. We don't do field work. There are other organizations that do that, and there are other research groups that do that, and that's very important work. But our work isn't actually field work, but other groups do that, and it's very important.
Do you also do statistics dealing with the happiness index, dealing with whether you live in an extended family or whether you just live in a husband, wife, and children family?
Well, that's actually a very good question. Let me go back a step there. There's one other real problem with the way we currently keep our accounts, and that is that it takes no account of... Well, our current accounts tell us how much income, for example, we're producing. So in Alberta, you'll know what is the gross domestic product per capita. That's an average. But it doesn't tell us anything about how that income is shared. So during the whole Alberta boom period, actually, the poor have been getting poorer. The lowest 20% of Albertans mm-hmm. have actually lost real income. So not everyone is sharing in the boom. Now, when we do that analysis, we do break it down exactly as you said. We look at what's the share that people are getting according to the type of family they're living in. Are they single mothers, for example, have a very different profile from married couples? So we do actually look at different family types, different age groups, and then we look at how income, for example, is actually shared among the population, which our conventional statistics on economic growth don't do.
And which is the happiest family?
Well, I have to tell you that from a... all of the health statistics and also the income statistics show that it's actually very, very difficult these days in Canada to be a single parent. Single parents have very low income. They also have poorer health. And they, for example, consult mental health practitioners three times as much as married couples, partly because first of all, poverty is a great stress, and single parents very often have low incomes. So so there are difficulties that some groups have. Another group that's in difficulties are recent immigrants, minorities, aboriginals. So you can actually look at which groups are doing well when you have a boom period, but not everyone is necessarily doing well during a boom period.
But what you're suggesting, and I think it's well taken, is that if people are indeed stressed, when they present themselves to the medical system, they're stressing the healthcare system in terms of dollars and finances, and we haven't accounted for that?
Well, exactly. That's an extremely important point. So in our studies, we found that low-income people are hospitalized and use physician services far more often than higher-income people. Their health is poorer. They use medical services more. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that our conventional accounting system doesn't recognize is that poverty is actually costly. It's a greater stress on the healthcare system. Reducing low income is actually going to produce better health for Canadians and therefore reduce hospitalization and medical expenses. So that's the way we need to start looking at things. We actually have to take a bigger view mm-hmm. of our economics and our society and our accounts and try to recognize that actually reducing rates of poverty can be a good investment.
Marie and Stony Plain, thanks very much for your call. Your points are extremely well taken, and we seem to have had some problems with our phone again. Anu, I apologize. For some reason, we have been unable to get your call. And would you please phone back if you're listening right now? As a matter of fact, if we lost a couple of people, I'll take mea culpa. It's probably me. Go ahead, blame me. As soon as I open my mouth, somebody blames me for something anyway. So you might as well go ahead, have that satisfaction. 866-468-4422. 866-468-4422. Wild Rose Forum at cbc.ca is the email address. My guest today is Ron Coleman. I mentioned to you before that we would be talking about his GPI, the genuine progress indicator that we started that discussion, gosh, about 3 weeks ago. So if this is new to you, not to worry. It's new to a lot of people. Apparently, Ron Coleman, and this is what I understand through my resources of the grapevine, that the Prime Minister is actually considering the GPI. Is that true?
Well, he certainly knows about it. Whether he's considering it or not, I'm not sure. I would love to think he was, but he certainly knows about the work.
Mm-hmm.
He does read, I've been told, he reads Reality Check. He does get it.
Yeah. And Reality Check, by the way, for those of you who are wondering what we're talking about, is available for free if you go to the GPIAtlantic.org website. And you'll see what the Prime Minister is reading about.
Well, that's what I've been told. I know he receives it, so I'm quite sure he knows about the work. In fact, he's given speeches in which he's acknowledged this this new kind of accounting work and its importance, and he's also given speeches in which he's recognized the limitations of conventional accounting mechanisms. So
Right. He's
definitely aware of it. Now, whether or not we're ever going to see the government adopt it in the near future, that's another question.
Well, let me talk about that in the next half hour, but I'd like to get a couple of calls in before we take the break at 1:30. Let's go to Red Deer now. And Lyle, welcome to Wild Rose Forum. Hi.
Yeah, good afternoon. I was wondering, with the municipal elections in full swing here, what role could municipal governments have in doing this sort of thing, and how could we account for it here? And I guess the second part is, where is it available so we can actually say these are the indicators you should be looking at?
Great question. Thanks for bringing it up, because we were talking about that off-air, Ron Coleman, how people can apply it not just nationally or internationally, but right down there at the community level.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that question. We found that from the beginning of our work here, we started this work here about 8 years ago, and the greatest interest has always come at the local level, at the community level, and that makes sense, because in terms of quality of life, that's where the rubber hits the road. See, it doesn't do much good, for example, to have a provincial average for water quality if you happen to be living in Walkerton.
Mm-hmm.
So those issues of air quality, water quality, is your community safe and secure, or do you have high crime rates? All of that happens at the local level. So that's really where this work makes the most sense. And in Nova Scotia, as a result of the interest shown by communities, we started working with communities to develop these indicators and measures at the local level. So we now have 3 community-level projects going here. Actually, again, if you go to the website and you go to Community GPI, you'll see a report there on our local community-level work. So definitely, I agree with you completely that that's a very important place to do this measurement work.
By the way, that website address again is www.gpiatlantic, all one word, .org. Back to you, Lyle.
I was just wondering, are the indicators, are they listed on that website so that when we're talking to municipal candidates, we can say, what about these things?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, you know, and really, I have to tell you that a lot of this is common sense. And this is, I would say that one of the key purposes of this work is so that we can hold our candidates accountable at election time. That's really one of the reasons for this. So we should be asking them questions, you know, have rates of teenage smoking gone up or down since you were last elected? Very basic questions like this. Have greenhouse gas emissions gone up or down since you were last elected? You know, what have you done about reducing rates of overweight or reducing rates of physical inactivity, if you want to talk about health? So that's exactly the kind of question we should be asking our candidates. And these indicators and measures are really perfect for that kind of thing. It's very much common sense. Are our communities safer or not? What have you done about it?
Lyle, in Red Deer, just a question to you. Armed with this kind of questions, then, that you could probably bring to the local municipal politician that you deal with, what kind of, well, how do you feel that they might be able to answer that? Would they have the information available, do you think?
Well, I think that your guest is correct that the gross national product is just way too slim a measure for anything, and there's a lot of people that fall off that measure. So I think to bring the indicators and bring a system that you can tell them that there is another way of looking at the world,
mm-hmm.
Would be really helpful to them.
Well, I'm going to hold you there. We're coming up to that 90-second break, but thanks very much for for your call from Red Deer, and I understand you're a first-time caller. We certainly welcome people like you. This is Wild Rose Forum on CBC Radio 1.